Hey, what's happening? What's going on in Sharkland? This is Eric from the Shark School with another episode of Let's Talk Shark. It keeps being in the news, and I doubt that it vanishes soon. It's the dilemma of protecting beaches from sharks or not. In a perfect world, there would be no need. In a fearful and merciless society, there seems to be a need. So what to do? By now, you should know my opinion. I do not like the idea. However, every incident that does not happen makes no headline, right? So, if you will believe the media, the number of people who get bitten by sharks is on the rise. That, of course, is not the case. I'm always surprised how quickly this assumption is made. So, let's look at it for a second. Overall, we have about 100 incidents per year. Not fatal bites, just incidents. Shark pushes a person from the board, exploratory bite, and these type of things. So we have about 100 incidents per year, give or take a few. Now let's say this year we have 110 incidents, give or take a few. So it's 10 bites more. So does this mean there is now a 10% increase? By number alone, just 100, 110, you could say that. But what you try to imply is that the increase, that there is an increase, which you cannot, with statistics behind you, statistics would not back that up. As long as you do not know how many people jumped in on a yearly basis, any conclusion how this number or that difference could be interpreted is nil. You can't do anything with it. Unfortunately, I see more and more even scientific papers making this mistake. Granted, the last time I've seen it was in a medical journal that just used this type of figure to make a point. But if the reviewers of that paper would have had a basic idea about numbers and proportions, about statistics, they would have rejected the paper. But they did not, and that is troublesome. When even peer-reviewed journals fall for such errors, despite that it's not their field, a medical journal is not, it has nothing to do with a statistical journal. But overall, when these journals fail to see such error, how does the general media want to interpret such data? Mark this down. As long as we do not know the number of people swimming, surfing, bathing, and so on a yearly basis worldwide, we cannot make any conclusion about the absolute shark incident numbers per year and cannot use them otherwise. And that's that. No ifs, no buts. That's the way it is. So now you may ask if we cannot really do anything. We cannot say it goes up, numbers go up, numbers go down. So is there anything we can do with this 100 bites per year? Yes, of course, there is sort of an idea what we can do. We can use the human populations per beach area as a proxy for people who go in the water. So we assume that proportionally, the number of people going in the water is proportionally to the number of people living there. And then we actually can come up with a bite rate that would meet number of bites per population area, whatever the area then would be. So this would be an idea. And we'll go into that a little later on down the road in the podcasts, how we use this type of idea to then weighing the number of bites that happen and how this truly affects the increase or decrease of incidents. So anyway, back to the issue of protecting beaches. If municipalities and governments argue that they want to reduce incidents, then they have a valid point. If they, however, do it under the disguise of an increased threat, then they're wrong. So this leads to the question if there is any protection device out there that you need protect but does not harm sharks. And that's the most important thing. No device should harm sharks. I mean, that would be great, right? Well, there are some new technologies that are promising, like drone-like vehicles that are equipped with some shape recognition software. And as it seems, in the testing, with a rather high success rate of actually being able to differ between a shark and, for example, a dolphin of the same size. Could such technology go mainstream? Really, really hope so. This technology would be non-invasive, so harmless for the sharks, harmless for all the other animals that nearly is getting tangled in the nets. Then there are ideas like electrical current barriers and similar ones that basically zap a shark should it get too close to an area. I'm not sure what I should think about this. Of course, I don't like anything done to sharks, but considering that the shark will start to feel a low energy field, and by getting closer it increases, I think, well, I could sort of accept such a technology. But again, I'm not really a fan of anything like that. So how about the old shark nets? Well, you know, they're definitely a no-no. They're too invasive, and before I would accept any regular shark nets, I would go with electrical fields. There are too many sharks in shark nets getting entangled each year, but not just sharks, as well as dolphins, turtles, and so on. Of course, some people argue that the loss of marine life is negligible. I disagree, because it's not just one beach that has these dead animals. There are quite a few more. So it adds up. Causing animal lives because we like to swim at a certain spot is not up for debate, in my opinion. So how about the shark spotters? This is in effect since many years and with good results from down in South Africa. Of course, it requires a topography where the spotter is elevated so that he or she can literally look down on the beach. Of course, it needs to be kind of clear or with a sandy bottom in order to see the sharks. But actually, I like this system. So you see the problem, right? Although we could create some monitoring system on any beach, the problem are all the areas without lifeguard attention or with louder controlling system, like far away areas from civilization where people look for unspoiled beaches and surf spots. Can't blame them. It's great, but of course, protection then would be a personal issue, something I'd like to discuss in my next podcast. Bottom line is that as long as swimming, surfing, and bathing is pretty much allowed wherever there is an access to a coastline, there is nothing that could be done to avoid potential encounters. And if an encounter takes place, chances are the person won't survive because of the distance to any emergency or any hospital. But it is these remote incidents that are used by shark haters to enforce culling sharks, because the person died after the bite is the only argument these shark haters accept. So culling sharks is pretty much the stupidest idea one can come up with in order to lower incident rates. Of course, if no shark is out there anymore, then no bites could happen either, but we should be real. When the sharks are gone, we will be gone pretty quick as well. So can anybody really have such a viewpoint? I hope not, but unfortunately, some people have. But culling is not the answer. But not just in the marine realm. Wherever people come up with killing wolves, snakes, and other quote-unquote hazardous or dangerous wildlife, I can just shake my head. We have to understand one thing. We are part of our world, but we are not the world. We cannot live without nature, the plants and animals. We need them. But by lowering the number of sharks, not just because of culling, but fishing for them, finning, and any other aspect that lowers their density on a worldwide basis, we basically jeopardize the balance in the marine realm. Sharks are still the most abundant top predator, over 100 pounds or 50 kilograms on the planet. So nature had a reason why it created so many of them. So if mankind ignores this number of sharks and decides to lower it, we open a door that can never be closed again, and whatever world this door opened will be the one we have to live in. Let's try to see man's position on the planet, not as the ruler, but as part of an intricate system of life forms and connections where only balancing these connections guarantees survival. Although Darwin went for the survival of the fittest, it's more the survival of the most sensitive. Okay, that's it for today. Tune in again for another show of Let's Talk Shark. Have a great day. And if you meet a shark out there, have fun, enjoy the moment, and remember, it is a privilege to be among them.